Today's shiur is Daf Nun Tes, and we're going to begin on Daf Nun Ches on the base, about, I would say, 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara begins with a piece of Braisa that we just spoke about yesterday. The Braisa said, Amamah, we learned yesterday, the bell that we discussed yesterday is Mekabel Tumma, is susceptible to Tumma because it has the clapper in it. So the halacha is, even if the clapper was removed, adayin tumas aleihem, they still are mekabel tuma these bells. Ask the Gemara, l'may chazu, if the clapper was removed, it's useless. So why is it still mekabel tuma? It's no longer a keli, it's no longer a utensil. Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, hayosha hedjid yoch lachziroi. Since it's not a big deal, any hedjid, any individual could reinsert the clapper, so it's no reason, that's why it's still tummy. Masiv Rava, so Rava asks, it says in the Braisa, Hazug ve'imbal chibur, that a bell and a clapper are considered connected. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question is as follows. What is this Braisa telling us? This Braisa is telling us that when is a bell considered a bell? When is a bell considered a keli, that it's mekabel tuma? When it has the imbal in it, when it has the clapper in it. When the clapper is missing, even though, as Abaye Taka just said a minute ago, that it's very easy to replace, the point is it's not there. And if it's not there, it's not tuma. So the question is, why, just because it's easy to replace, are you saying, the Braisa, that it is still mekabel tuma? V'chi teima. So Gemara says, perhaps pshat in the Braisa is hachikamah. This is what the Braisa meant to say. The afgav deloy mechaber, even though you have the bell and the clapper, and they're not connected, keman mechaber dami, it will be considered lahalocha that they are connected. So in other words, the Braisa is actually telling us the same thing as Abaya, that since the clapper is easily reinserted, even though it's not there quite now, it's still considered connected. Says the Gemara, I'll bring you a proof that that's not pshat in the Braisa. A Gemara that we learned on Daf Mem Ches for Tanya. A Braisa, the Braisa says like this, Mesparo Shel Parokim. Mesparo Shel Parokim means scissors that can be separated. They used to have scissors that the two blades were kept separate, and then when you wanted to use the scissors, you put them together. Or Ismal Shel Rehitni. It's a plane that they used to use as a piece of equipment, but they didn't keep it like we normally have it, connected all the time. They had a wooden handle that had in it a groove, and they inserted and removed the piece of metal as required. So the halacha is like this. Chibur l'tumah, they considered connected as far as tumah, and if one part gets tumah, the other part gets considered tumah. However, if ain't chibur l'azah, that means if it gets tumah, and the halacha is that if it gets tumah with tumah smes, it has to have sprinkling with the paraduma water, with the mechatis, if one part got spritzed on, it won't work on the other part. V'minin, and when we learned the Gemara, we asked the question, Marmshach, Ichibrahu, if it's considered connected, therefore, Afil Chazor, Nami should be considered connected. And on the other hand, V'lav Chibrahu, if it's considered not connected, so Afil Tumah Nami Loi, it should not be considered connected as far as susceptibility to Tumah. V'amar Rava, so Rav explained, Dvat Torah, Midaraisa, Bishas Melacha Chibur, while they're in use, they're considered connected, Bein L'Tumma, Bein L'Azah, as far as B'Makabal Tumma, and as far as Hazah will be concerned. Shiloi Bishas Melacha, when they're not being used, Ein Achibur, Loi L'Tumma, V'Loi L'Azah, they're not considered connected, not as far as Tumma is concerned, and not as far as Hazah is concerned. However, the Gazru, Midrabbanan, they said, that our tumah shloi b'shas melacha, that even though it's shloi b'shas melacha, even though it's not in use, so with the rice it's not mekabel tumah, it should still be mekabel tumah l'chol apachas, at least midrabbanan. Why? Why did they make this gzeira? Mishum tumah shi b'shas melacha, because since when it is in use, it's mekabel tumah midraisa, so Chazal made the gzeira even shloi b'shas melacha. On the other hand, a hazah should be shas melacha, hazah, when it is in use, which really should work, because at that time it's considered mechubur, still, we're not going to consider it mechubar. We're not going to consider it connected. Mishmazar shlo b'shas malacha agzered rabbanim. But what do we see from here? Here we have an item that is even connected, right? Yet Chazal are telling us that l'chol pachas l'chumra, we're not considering it connected. So now let's go back to our Gemara. We have the bell and the clapper. Right now they're not connected. True abaya, they're easily connected, but they certainly shouldn't be considered connected. What's the proof? If the scissor, which is mamish connected, we're saying is not considered connected l'chumra, certainly something which is not connected, just because it could be connected, should not be considered connected. So now I'm back to the beginning of the shir. The braisa we learned yesterday, which the Gemara began with today, that said if you have a bell, that the clapper is missing. And yesterday we learned that the reason a bell is mekabel tuma, at least certain bells, we'll review it soon, is because it gives noise. Without the clapper, it can't make any noise. So it's not a keli. Why is it mekabel tuma? Elam Rav, you know what the reason is? Hoyel v'royel akish al gabi cheres. Since it could be used to, there are two ways you could use a bell to make noise. The traditional way is that you have a bell with a clapper and you ring the bell. Another way is you'll have the bell missing a clapper, but you'll take the bell and bang it on a piece of cheres, a piece of earthenware, it'll make noise. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. If you started off with a bell, beautiful explanation. If you started off with a bell and it didn't have a clapper, it wouldn't be mekabel tuma, because a bell without a clapper is not a bell. But here you started off with a real bell. Guess what? The clapper is missing. Since it has some use, because you could bang it on the table, it's still mekabel tuma. Since once it was a full-fledged keli. What is the analogy? It's a great analogy. The halacha is, we learned that a keli that's broken is not a keli. So what happens if when you fashioned the keli, it was never whole? So it was never keli. But what's going to be the halacha if you had a real, a bowl, a plate, whatever, a cup, and it was a full-fledged keli, and it has a small hole? Is it still mekabel tuma? The halacha is it's still mekabel tuma, because it may be too small for liquid, or maybe too small for small fruits, but you could put in pomegranates. Ah, you can't put in small fruits. Why is it not considered broken? Since it was once a keli, to lose the shame keli is much more difficult than to get it. So here too, this bell was once a real bell, and it has some sort of a use, because you could bang it against the cheres, so it doesn't lose the name of a keli, and it's still mekabel tuma. That's how Rav explains. Et benami, and that's what Rav Yosef Chanina says, hoyv roy lahakish al gabi cheres, that's why it's still mekabel tuma. Rav Yochan says a different reason. Hoyv roy lagabi mayel matinik. Rav Yochan says it can be used to drink water. You could take the bell and use it as a cup. So now, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan's explanation and Rav's explanation? There's a fundamental difference. Rav's explanation says that the bell is usable for something that it was its original use. It's still making noise. That's what Rav finds a use. Rabbi Yochanan is saying it's usable even if it has no connection to the original use. It's just usable as a cup, even though a cup has nothing to do with making noise. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan l'boi me'ein malachim reshoina. According to Rabbi Yochanan, as long as it's usable, even though it has no connection to the original use, is that enough that it should still be considered a keli that's mekabel tuma? I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold that way. For Tanya, it says a pasuk. There's a series of tumas that are called tuma hayoytz megufa, tuma that go out of the body, zav, nida. One of the unique aspects of this tuma is called tumas medris. That anything a Zav sits on, a chair, a bed, a couch, becomes Tameh. So the Pasuk says in the Torah regarding this din, V'chol kli ashiyesha olav, any keli, any utensil that the Zav sits on, yitma, becomes Tameh. Explains the Braisa. Yochol kafasav yoshev olav. What would be if you took a barrel, and you turned it over, and the Zav sits on it? A barrel the size of a saw. Or tarkiv. That's a barrel the size of a tarkiv, two kav, the yoshula. How would I explain it? What would be if a Zav took a garbage can, and he turned it upside down, and he sat down on the garbage can? Yei tameh. So he's sitting on it. Does it have a tumas medris? Tameloimur, ashi yeshival of a Zav. It's what he called it. It has to be something that the Zav sits on. Mishi yuchad li yeshiva, something that's designated for sitting. Yotzezesh oimrim amoy v'nasim lachtainu. It comes to exclude a thing that if I sat down on a garbage can, the person will come to me and say, listen, excuse me, this is not for you to sit on, it's made for a garbage can. Therefore, it's not mekama tomaziva, tomas medris. Now, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, amoy v'nasim lachtainu has two definitions. One definition of amoy v'nasim lachtainu is what we just explained. That if I sat down on something, if a zov sat down on something which wasn't made to be sat on, that doesn't get tumas medris. But Rashi explains there's another concept, tamoy v'nasim lachtainu. He explains it this way. Let's say we have a piece of material. That's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, a decent size of material. A zov sits down on it, I'll have tumas medris, it's made to be sat on. What's going to be the halacha if thou, you take that material and you cut it in half? It only is a small piece of material. Will it still be considered something that has tumas medris? So the halacha is that it doesn't. I mean, we're going to see machlokes, but it certainly may not, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because it's no longer usable as a seat. Now here it's even a bigger chiddush. Here we had something which originally was used to be sat on, but now it's no longer used to be sat on, and already loses the stat. Because I say amoy v'nasim malachteinu, it's no longer mekabel tuma. So now let's go back to our bell. Our bell, taka, was a bell, but it's no longer a bell. Now it's a cup. So how could you say that it's still mekabel tuma because it could be a cup? That's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Elazar Omer continues the Gemara. The madrasis in a piece of material, like we just explained, change. We say that even though it originally was susceptible to tumas medris, when it's no longer the proper size, it's no longer susceptible to tumas medris. But that's by tumas medris. Says Rabbi Elazar, I don't say by any other tumay. But ain't I'm tumay meis amoy v'nasim lachtainu. Rabbi Yochanan says no. He's makel. He says apet tumay meis. By every tumma we adapt this concept amoy v'nasim lachtainu. So now we have a gevaldige kasha. Rabbi Yochanan said that why is a bell that's missing the clapper mekabel tumma because it could be used as a cup. So what? Amoy v'nasim lachtainu. It's not made for a cup. And Rabbi Yochanan says, "Amoy v'nasim lachtainu." Unless it's that is its use, it can't be mekabel tuma. So we have a big question, Rabbi Yochanan. I just want to add one point, because Tosfos Devar Maskil, Rabbi Yochanan says a very important concept. He says, you know, if you learn this Gemara, so what can't you use as a cup? You'll find a use for everything under the sun. So according to this Gemara, forget the problem of Amoy v'nasim lachtainu. If we're not going to say Amoy v'nasim lachtainu, so everything should be mekabel tuma. So Tosfos says an interesting pshat. Tosfos says, of course, the fact that you can find a use for something, if it's not its designated use, doesn't mean that's usable. But here we have two things working in our favor. Number one, the bell, even without the clapper, can be used as a cup. Number two, it's very easy to repair. As we started the shear, just insert the clapper. When you have all these things working in your favor, that's why it'll still be considered a keli. But right now we have a kasha. Rabbi Yochanan says that it's usable as a cup, that's why it's still mekabel tuma. And Rabbi Yochanan is the one that says, amoy v'nasim lachtainu, it has to have an original use. Answers the Gemara, epech kamaisa. We started with a teretz. Rav is saying, hoyel v'royel l'hakashu gab b'cheret, that it can be used to clap on cheres. Rabbi Yochanan saying that it can be used as a cup. Switch Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Ask the Gemara, my chaz is the apchus kamaisa. Okay, I have to make a switch because I have a great question. Who says to switch those shitas? Apach Pesraisas say that in this machloikis that we just learned of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, there are switch. And I'll have Rabbi Yochanan not subscribing to Amoy v'nasim lachtainu, and I'll have Rabbi Elazar subscribing to Amoy v'nasim lachtainu. Why switch the first set of Manda Amrim instead of switching the second set of Manda Amrim? Answers the Gemara. So the way the Rishonim explain the Gemara is like this. The Rishonim explain We find in two places Rabbi Yochanan subscribes to the concept of a moiv nas malachtenu. Now, if we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan no longer that's a mistake, and Rabbi Yochanan really doesn't hold of a moiv nas malachtenu, so how many places am I going to have to switch? I'll have to switch two places: the brice I just learned and the brice I'm going to learn. If, on the other hand, I have Rabbi Yochanan continuing to say a moiv nas malachtenu, how many places am I going to have to switch? Only our Gemara, which means only one place. Given the option of switching one place or switching two places, we don't like to switch mandamrim. We want to do it as minimally as possible, so that's why I prefer to switch this place versus those places. Where's the other places? Where's the other place that I see Rabbi Yochanan holds that you need to retain the title Keli? It has to be have its original use in this Gemara. It says sandal shebehema, the shoe of an animal. So we're not talking the way we imagine, you know, like when you look at a horse or horseshoe, the way we look at a horseshoe. These shoes, it becomes very apparent in the Gemara, look like a cup, and it was made out of metal. Daloch is tameh, is mekabel tameh. Is the question of my chazi, what can you do with an animal shoe? Because the fact that it's usable for an animal, as we learned yesterday, doesn't make it into a keli. So Amar Rav, it can be used as a cup. If the soldier is at war and he has his animal and he's desperate, he'll use it for a cup. What can I do with it? I could fill it up with oil. If I want to smear myself with oil, I'll fill it up with oil. That's how I could transport the oil. Rav Yochanan, a third use. What's Rav Yochanan's use? B'shosh v'rechem in a kerif. If somebody's running, they're in war, and he got to run, the soldier has to run. Menicha b'raglof, he'll put it on his feet. V'rotz al koitzim al b'konim, like that, he's wearing a metal shoe. He could run on thorns and thistles and not get cut. Why did Rav Yochanan say this use? Why didn't he say it could be used as a cup? Because a cup is not the same as its original use. Its original use was a shoe, and now a cup has no connection to a shoe. That's why Rabbi Yochanan wanted it to be used as a shoe. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan holds it always has to be connected to its original use. So Tosfos says a very important point here. It's similar to what I said before from Tosfos. Again, I always could have a use for something. So if I could take the shoe of an animal and say it's a cup, and therefore it's Mekabel Tumah, so then what won't be Mekabel Tumah? What won't I find a use for? So Tosfos says a very important word. Tosfos says that when they fashioned these shoes for the animal, they always knew in the back of their mind that a secondary use is that it may be used by the soldier as a cup. But something that nobody ever thought that you're going to use this keli for, and then you're an ingenious person, you're a creative person, and you're able to use it, doesn't make it into a use. So now, this is the second place where we see Rabbi Yochanan says you have to have the original use. Ma bein Rav Rav Chanina. Rav said it could be used for a cup for drinking. Rav Chanina said it could be used for a cup to smear oil. What's the difference? So tomorrow, it could be an idemos, where the cup is dirty. So it won't be used for drinking, but it could still be used for oil. Now Gemara says, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Chanina? Rav Yochanan says it could be used to run. Rav Chanina says it could be used for the oil. It could be an idemos, where it's a very heavy cup. So it could still be used for the oil, but nobody's going to put it on his feet to run something that will only weigh him down. No, but he wants to know a practical nafkamina. According to both of them, it's Mekabel Tumah. So what's the difference? Why?
In this case, it won't make a difference.
So the Gemara wants to know, but the Gemara wants to show you that even in this case, okay, I'll give you a practical nafkamina. So we're going to just do two things before we go to the next sugya. I just want to review, based on what we learned for the last 2 days, because these are sugyas that we're not that familiar with, that what the halacha is. It's not halacha l'mais in our life. A bell that's used for children without a clapper is not Mekabel Tumah. With a clapper, it is Mekabel Tumah. If it's made for an adult as an ornamentation on clothing, so we learned yesterday, it doesn't have to have a clapper. And now we're learning that if it originally had a clapper and it loses the clapper, as long as it still could be used either as a cup, according to Rava, or as to clap on the table, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it still will retain its status of Kabbalah of Tumah. That's a review, halach lemaisa, not halach lemaisa, halach of what we learned for the last 2 days. Before we go further, I just want to tell you over a nice svart that the Bnei Yisoscha, chassidus svart, but it's okay, says on based on this Gemara. He says the Gemara Masechet Yevamos, Daf Tzadik Vav, says that Rabbi Yochanan was very particular. If people said something over and then said something that he said and didn't say it in his name, and the question is, why was Rabbi Yochanan so particular about it? Furthermore, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, "Agura Alecha Olamim, I will live in your tents. I will live in the yeshiva Olamim. Olamim is plural, two worlds." So the question is, how does a person live after he dies? So Bnei Yisoscha explains like this. He says, first of all, a very important concept. He says, in this world we learn Torah. We learn Torah because it's a mitzvah to learn Torah. For every moment that we spend learning Torah in this world, we'll get Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, we'll get incredible schar. In the next world, people learn Torah. For the next, in this world we're in Heilich. A person is always growing in this world. In the next world we're in Oymed. We're where we are. And even what do they do in Olam Haba all day? They learn Torah, but that Torah is not Torah that they get schar for. That Torah is a schar. A person who spent his life doing what he's supposed to do in the next world, he'll be able to spend his days enjoying learning Torah. But, so a person in this world is like a bell with a clapper. He could teach Torah, he could learn Torah with somebody else. After he dies, he's a bell without a clapper. But our Gemara is teaching us that a bell without a clapper could still be a keli. It could still continue making noise. It may not be able to make the same noise. It may not be able to talk the same way it talked in this world with a clapper in it, but it still could be makasha klicheris. It could still, the words of Torah could live forever. That's why Rabbi Yochanan was so particular about Torah should be said in his name even after he's in this, even he leaves the world. Agura Alecha Olamim. Continues the Gemara. So the Pasuk said, the Mishnah said, that now that women aren't allowed to wear, we spoke about this yesterday, I'm not going to review this thing that looked like the skyline of Yerushalayim. My Be'eshazov, Rabbi Yochanan, Yerushalayim Tadav, they had this piece of gold that looked like the Yerushalayim skyline. Kedavla Rabbi Kiva, Devisa, like Rabbi Kiva made for his wife. Begins the Gemara, Braisa. Very important Gemara, because the importance of this Gemara is going to go back to some of the Halach Lamaisa we've been talking about. Because we remember, we have a fundamental problem with this parak. We've been learning that nobody's allowed to wear jewelry, and everybody wears jewelry. Tana Bonin. Laisaitzi ish b'irshal zov. A woman is not allowed to wear this irshal zov. From Yotza, if she does wear it, chayiv chattas, the vermeya. Coin from meya, it's considered like she was carrying on Shabbos. Mamish carrying. Chamamrim, laisaitzi, she shouldn't wear it. From Yotza's p'tura, but if she wears it, it's part of avalos, it's from drabonin. Rabbi Loza says, Yoitz Ish B'Yishazov L'Chatchila, she may wear it, L'Chatchila, no problem. Ask the Gemara, B'Mai Kamefki, what's the Machlaikas? Rameya Sovim Masrihu. Rameya holds that this is called carrying. So I'm going to explain the Gemara like the Tosfos HaRosh says. Tosfos HaRosh says that Yishazov is not really jewelry. It was more like a political statement. It's a political statement, I am affiliated with Yerushalayim. So it's not jewelry. So she... Jewelry, a beged, we began the parak, you're allowed to wear. Something which is not jewelry, you have no right to wear. It's a masri. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. True. It's not a piece of jewelry. True. It's not a beged. But she's not carrying it. She's not carrying it in her hands. She's wearing it. So why is that called carrying the Techayiv Chatas? So all the Achroinim explain a very important concept that carrying, the is of carrying is not limited to carrying something in your hands. If you carry or you transfer, the isser is not carrying. The isser is transferring. And if you transfer something from one rishus to another rishus, or dalat amas brishus rabim, and that's the normal way that this object is transferred, meaning that this object, how do you transfer the, how do you normally go with the ishus of, you wear it on your forehead? That's the way of transferring it, and there's a chiv chattis if it's not a jewelry or a beged. That's the way most achroinim explain the Gemara. Very important concept in carrying. It's no longer carrying, it's transferring. Rabbanan, hold, that it is a tachshit. So it's a tachshit. So midaraisa, you're allowed to wear it. But we go back to what we began the parak with. There's a concern, dilma shafa machile, you may take it off, vasla suyin, you carry it. So the rabbanon it's also. Rebbe Elazar sover, man darkle mepik beishos off. Who usually wears this? This is a very expensive piece of jewelry. Most women can't afford it, as we'll see in the Gemara. Ishach shuva, only a ishach shuva. V'ishach shuva lo shafa machre. They don't. They're not going to belittle themselves to take off their jewelry to show off. Continues the Gemara. Klila. Klila is another type of it's like a tiara. It's also an expensive piece of jewelry. Rav Osir. Rav says a woman may not wear it on Shabbos. V'shmul shari, and Shmul says a woman may. Says the Gemara. Then nischa. The klila could be made in one of two ways. It could be made out of a piece of metal. Says the Gemara, kulib amalai pligidos. Everybody will agree that you're not allowed to wear it. Why? It's like jewelry that we've been learning the whole parak. You're not allowed to wear. Ki plaga daruksa. When it's made out of material, just with pieces of silver and gold in it. Mar sova. Rav, who says that you may not wear it, holds anisch ikr. The main part of it is the pieces of gold and silver, and therefore they're like any piece of jewelry that you're not allowed to wear. Or mar sova ruksa ikr. The main part is the piece of material we're now learning in this parak is also. That's one version of explaining the machlokes of Rav Shmuel. Rav Ashi has a cooler digger way of explaining the machlokes. Rav Ashi masmal kula. He says, does ruksa, if this kalila is made out of material just with pieces of gold and silver, the kula amloi pliga the shari, could that's not piece of jewelry? And if it's not a piece of jewelry, there's no isser. Ki pliga dan nischa. The machlokes is when it's made out of gold and silver. Mash sova, Rav holds, it's like any other piece of jewelry. Dilma shafa machia, I'm concerned she may take it off, vos lasuya, and she'll carry it. Or mash sova, and what does Shmuel hold? It's a piece of jewelry. Why is Shmuel being makel? Because it says, man dak lamaik bebeklila, who's the one that normally wears a klila? Ishach shuva. Vishach shuva, lo shafa machia. The way most Rishonim explain, essentially Shmuel is saying the same thing as Rebbe Elazar. That where we don't have a concern of Shafa Machia, it's Mutter. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Amalei Rav Shmuel Babachana Rav Yosef Meferish Amrit L'Mishmei D'Rav Kli L'Shari. We learned that a Kli L'Shari, that you're allowed to wear Kli. Now before we go further, there's a very fundamental Taisus here, which really opens up the whole Gemara. Taisus asks, where do we find in Gezeris, the Rabbanan, that we start differentiating? For you it's Mutter, and for you it's Asr. If it's Asr, it's Asr for everybody. If it's Mutter. We have Muksa. Half of this Masechta is Muksa. Bay is Masechta, is all Muksa. Did you ever hear somebody say, Muksa is Asr for him and Mutter for him? If it's Muksa, it's Muksa. Here we're saying, we look at your bank account. And based on your bank account, we'll tell you if you can wear jewelry. So Tosfos explains that a vada, even a wealthy person, even a wealthy woman, would not be allowed to wear a necklace, for example. Why? Because since some women are not allowed to wear a necklace, so we don't start differentiating. Nobody's allowed to wear a necklace. Even though she's not a woman, that would show it off. But I can't say you yes, you no. But a klila, according to Shmuel, who is the only person that could afford and wear a klila? Very expensive. Very rare. Only wealthy women. And all wealthy women don't show off their jewelry. That's why it's not a necklace and a klila is mutter. So a necklace will be also even for the wealthy woman. But a klila, since it's only worn by wealthy women, and all wealthy women don't show off the jewelry, that's why there's no problem. Now let's talk a little like in our world. Even if women show off the jewelry in our world, how do they show it off? They don't take it off. They show it off by way they're wearing. So all of our women, for all of their jewelry, is like a klila. So just like a klila is mutter for the ishach shuva, all jewelry for our wives, for daughters, wives, sisters, is like a klila and will be mutter. One of the heterim why women may wear jewelry. And we have to explain it a little better. Because again, because we now have a different question. The Shaila Meshev talks about this. Again, one of the yesodos of Yahadus is things don't change. So now we're going to say that nowadays women are allowed to wear jewelry. By the time the Gemara was written, women weren't allowed to wear jewelry. We don't find that in Halacha. And if someone's going to come along and say today that muksa should be mutter, the reasons that muksa was decreed don't apply. We don't believe in that. So why are we saying this by jewelry? So Shaul Meshev says there are two types of gzeiros drabonim. Sometimes the rabbanim make a gzeira, this is the rule, no matter what. And that rule remains in effect no matter what will happen. Avonim, stones are muksa. They're muksa for the rest of the history of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes Chazal make a gzeira, but the reason is part of the gzeira. They didn't just say jewelry, you're not allowed to wear jewelry on Shabbos. They said you're not allowed to wear jewelry because you're going to show it off. The mashal for machvir. And what they're essentially saying is, where the reason isn't applicable, the gzeir is not applicable. So we'll have a situation where the reason is not applicable. Whether it was a klil about ishach shuv in those times, or maybe our wives in our times, Chazal said that the whole gzeir doesn't apply. Continues the Gemara. Shal Meshev. Continues the Gemara. Amlei l'Rav. They told Rav, also gover rabba, a very choshva person, a richa, he's tall, came l'nador, umitla, and he limps. V'dorish kli l'shari. And he's telling us that a woman's allowed to wear kli on Shabbos. So before we go further, we have to give a little history. Rebbe, we know, was the Rosh Yeshiva. Rebbe, when he was being nifter, left the tzava that Rav Chanina should be his successor. But Rav Chanina, when Rebbe died, refused to take the position. He said, Rav Afis is older than me, and Rav Afis should be the Rosh Yeshiva. So Rav Afis became the Rosh Yeshiva. Even though Rav Afis became the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Chanina didn't feel that he should go into the yeshiva and learn by Rav Afis. That already not. Rav Afis was his contemporary. So he was outside the yeshiva, and he was learning b'chavrusa with Levi. That's the historical background to this Gemara. So he said, Omar, Rav said, Omar, man gaver rabba richa d'itla, who is a tall person, that's a choshva person that it limps? Levi. It's Levi. And shema mino, what I now see is that noch nefshed the Rav Afis. Rav Afis passed away. The Yosef Rav Chanina Bereshit. So now Rav Chanina became the Rosh Yeshiva. So Levi lost his chavrusa. The Lo Havelei Enish Lemeisav Gabei. Levi doesn't have a chavrusa anymore. And that's why, because of Lahacha, he came here because he doesn't have chavrusa in Eretz Yisrael anymore. Asked him Rav Dima Noch Nafsh the Rav Chanina. Who says that Rav Afis died? Maybe it was Rav Chanina that died. Rav Afis could have kai. Rav Afis remained Rosh Yeshiva, and Levi losing his chavrusa, Rav Chanina, that's why the kasa l'hacha. Says the Gemara, im is Rav Chanina shachiv, two reasons. First of all, if Rav Chanina would have died, Levi Rav Afis may have a kaif. Levi would have no problem going to Rav Afis's yeshiva, number one. Furthermore, it's impossible that Rav Chanina loy sagit loy molech. It's impossible to say that Rav Chanina did not become the Rosh Yeshiva, that he would have left the world without being Rosh Yeshiva. Why? Not the Rebbe, because when Rebbe was dying, as we said, he appointed Rav Chanina to be his successor. The pasuk says in Eiv regarding tzaddikim, whatever they decree happens. So it can't be that Rebbe said Rav Chanina should be Rosh Yeshiva and he should leave the world without ever being Rosh Yeshiva. And there, Darsh Nevi bin Hadar. So Levi said a drash in Hadar, the Kli Shari. The klila may be worn in Shabbos. Nofik esim v'arba klila mekulin ador. Out of all in ador, there were only 24 people that could afford a klila. Dor Shabbat Avu b'mechuza. Rabbi Avu said in mechuza, klila shari, that you're allowed to wear a klila. V'nofik tam yisari klila mechadim uvar. And out of one alleyway, 18 women wore klila. Obviously, mechuza was a much more wealthier community. Nu Gemara. Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Shmuel, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kamra Shari. Kamra is a belt that's made with like gold, and he says you're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Ika de Amra Darkusa. Some say that it's when it even when it has these pieces of gold in it, it's mutter. Vom Rav Safra. What Rav Safra would say, Mida de Hava a talis muzahavis. Just like a talis, if you have a gold, they used to have jackets, or talis, and they had any gold, and you're now worried that someone's going to take it off. Why? Because it's a garment. And our entire discussion in this perek has been limited to jewelry, not to garments. He says a belt, as expensive as it was, and as much gold and diamonds or whatever it has, it's still a belt. So it's a baguette. Vikidami da nischa, even if it's a metal belt, just like Melochim had such belts, they're allowed to wear it, so too you're allowed to wear this belt. So now the Mefarshim make a few points. One point they want to say is, what's the difference if it's made out of material or it's made out of metal? It's a belt. So they want to say, if it's made out of material, it's a beged. And a beged, we said, is no, the gzeir of our parak doesn't apply to. But if it's made out of gold, it's no longer a beged. Danisch, it's made out of gold, so now it's a piece of jewelry. So why is a mutter? The answer is, because just like Avnei Shemalachim, and what's the thing of a melech? Even a melech has the most beautiful thing, he won't show it off by taking it off. And like we're learning the whole day now, that whenever there's no concern that you're going to take it off, we don't make the gzeira, and you're allowed to wear it. So he says, anybody wearing this belt, as beautiful, as expensive it is, nobody takes it off. And some Rishonim want to say, the reason is because men, who wears this belt? Men. We spoke about this at the beginning of the parak, that this parak, the gzeira was only by women, not by men. That's why there's no problem. Just like a melech will never take it off. Others want to say it's not relevant to men or women. It depends, is it something that you take off? And this is something that nobody takes off. Continues the Gemara. Omle Ravina Levashe. Kamra alu hamnai amai. Are you allowed to wear, hamnai is the regular belt. Kamra is this fancy belt. Are you allowed to wear one belt on top of another belt? Omle. Trei hamayin kamart. There's no point in wearing two belts. This way Rashi and Tosfos both explain, and therefore you're not allowed to wear it. So Tosfos explains the Gemara, very important. He says, what do you mean you're not allowed to wear one thing on top of another thing? Tosfos says, you don't wear a jacket and then a coat on top of a jacket? Of course you do. And sometimes a person may wear two coats if he's very cold. So what's pshat that you now wear one belt on top of another belt? So Taisha says, if a person wears two coats, one on top of the other, there's a point in wearing the two coats. He wants to wear a jacket, he wants to wear a coat, he's cold, or when he takes off the coat, he still wants to have a jacket. There's a purpose in wearing the two coats. But if he's wearing two belts, what do you need to wear two belts for? Unless you're a real pessimist. What do you need to wear two belts for? So that's why the Gemara is saying you're not allowed to wear two belts. Where is this very relevant? The Shaila is, are you allowed to wear a gartel on Shabbos? Are you allowed to go out wearing a gartel? So it's very interesting. I saw three shittas in the Paiskim. The one that's most machmer is the Debre Tzina Rav. Debre Tzina Rav in the Be'er Moshe says that the only reason a person wears a gartel is because a gartel is something you wear by davening. It's not nothing. There's no need to wear a gartel when you're in the street. So he says there's no hetter to wear a gartel. There's no hetter to wear a gartel outside on Shabbos. That's what the Be'er Moshe says. Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe says that you're allowed to, that a gartel, he says, if you're wearing a belt, why are you wearing a gartel? So there's no point in wearing a gartel on top of a belt. That would mean, from a reading of Rav Moshe, that let's say you're not wearing a belt, you're allowed to wear a gartel. Others, Paiskin, want to say the Rav Moshe, because Taisha says another vart. Taisha says that every beged has its own guard, is allowed to have its own belt. So therefore, if you put a belt around your pants, and then you put another belt around your jacket, or the gartel around your jacket, it's fine. Because each beged is entitled to its own belt. Other poets can say that Rav Moshe didn't mean that. and they bring a proof. Rav Moshe says, let's say you want to put a gartel around your tie. He says, a gartel is not a tie pin. Similarly, we don't wear belts around our jackets. We wear belts around our pants. So there's no hetter, even according to Rav Moshe, to wear a gartel even around the jacket. It's not clear what Rav Moshe says. The one that's most makel is the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai quotes the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says that if there's a purpose in wearing the second belt, when does the Gemara say here that you now wear one belt on top of another belt? When there's no purpose, what am I wearing two belts for? But if I'm wearing one belt on top of another belt with a purpose, one is a belt to keep my pants up, and one is a belt, a gartel, because I wear a gartel when I daven. So they have each one a separate purpose, and the second one has a more chash of a purpose than the first purpose, and that's why the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasai says that you are allowed to wear a gartel when you walk outside in Shabbos. I was thinking, based on this Gemara, I didn't see anybody, I was trying to look, I didn't see, would you be allowed to wear suspenders and a belt? Since they, Taisha says, why are you not allowed to wear two belts? Because what's the point of the second one? So if you're wearing suspenders and a belt, what's the point of both? Continues the Gemara. Omer Rav Ashi, Hai Resuka, E Isle Mefarchia. Resuka is a corset. If it has ties, shari. So you tie it together, you're not worried it's going to fall off, and it's mutter. Rilav Osir. V'loib katla, we learned you're not allowed to wear katla, we said it's a choker. My katla, menak de pari. Menak de pari way most Rishonim explain is like this. The women used to wear such a nice bib that they used to catch paris, the crumbs. They used to wear, catch the crumbs that fell when they're eating. Nizomim, we learned in the Mishnah rings. What kind of rings? Nizme ha'af. So this is very relevant. What's nizme ha'af? Nose rings. What does that mean? Earrings will be mutter. Why? Because the earrings in those days were very difficult to get off. And since they were difficult to get off, we're not concerned, all the Rishonim say, because it was under their hair covering, so they have to open up their hair, and we learned that they don't do that. So that's why it's mutter to wear earrings, and we're not concerned she's going to show off her earrings. Nose rings, which are very accessible, there's a concern of Shafa Macha. Again, the Pais can take this Gemara relevant to what we've been talking about. If it's us to wear jewelry, so it's us to wear jewelry. What's the difference if it's an earring or a nose ring? But the way we're explaining, it's very geschmack. Chazal only made the gzeira. They didn't say a blanket rule, jewelry is usur. They said, I'm only worried on pieces of jewelry where there's a chshash of shafa machia. Where there is no concern of shafa machia, I never made the gzeira. Earrings, it's something where I don't have the chshash, so there's no gzeira. So again, we go back to our world. If we know people don't take it off, there won't be a gzeira.